You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. How are you this afternoon, everyone? How are things going? Are you surviving or thriving? Which one is it? Let's hope it's thriving, right? Brothers and sisters, let's begin with a Hail Mary, shall we? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Well, in case you didn't know, I'm Christina Doyle, and we come to you every Tuesday and Friday afternoon from 1 o'clock to 1:30. So, the power of prayer. How many of us believe there's power in prayer? How many of us pray when things are going bad? We all do. How about when things are going well? Maybe not so much, right? I hope not. I hope that we're praying all the time. You know, the coronavirus, brothers and sisters, the coronavirus pandemic has led to globally thousands of deaths, untold suffering, burnt out hospital staff, economic hardship, and of course, psychological distress. It has given millions of people a time to renew their faith or to come back to it. But is prayer a reliable tonic? Is that what we need? Yes. Is there scientific data to back it up? Yes, there is. One leading researcher, Dr. Herbert Benson of Harvard Medical School, holds that prayer and general stress management can reduce doctor visits by 50%. Most patients would agree. In a national survey, it was revealed that 35%, that's 35% of respondents used prayer for health concerns. 75% of those people prayed for wellness, and 22% prayed for specific medical conditions. Perhaps most important, 69% of those who prayed for specific medical conditions found prayer very helpful. With data like this, it makes the convictions of skeptics, you know, questions them. What matters is that Hail Marys work. Many of the skeptics, of course, say that any evidence that does not comport with their view of reality. Dr. Jeff Levin, an epidemiologist, anyways, you know what I mean, and former medical school professor, contends that the resistance and hostility that some scientists and physicians show to this topic stem from, I believe, from an unwillingness to consider explanations that undermine a strictly materialistic worldview, or another, okay, so lack of faith, big time. Perhaps the most controversial aspect of prayer and better well-being is whether praying for others actually has beneficial consequences. As it turns out, what is called absent prayer or intercessory prayer does yield positive outcomes. We know that, right, brothers and sisters? I've been prayed about when I was going through surgery, and maybe you've been on a prayer link, or maybe you're on a prayer chain. When people are asked to pray for a specific person whom they don't know, but they know they're suffering from an illness, and the recipient of prayer has no knowledge that this is happening, most of these double-blind studies show that patients who are prayed for improve better than those patients with the same condition, but who didn't have anyone to pray for them. That is so sad. That's awful. One of the earliest and most prominent studies ever done on the health effects of intercessory prayer was conducted by Dr. Randolph C. Byrd in 1988. In a study of 393 people admitted to the coronary care at San Francisco General Hospital, the patients were divided into two groups. Half the group was selected for intercessory prayer by devout Christians, and the other half received no such treatment. The patients were randomly assigned, and neither the patients nor the health staff had a clue which was the experimental group and which was the control group. The former fared significantly than the latter. Two explanations are possible. Praying for others works, or the results were due to chance. However, the odds that this was due to chance were 1 in 10,000. Those who did the praying were all devout Catholics and Protestants. Dr. Byrd concluded that these findings suggest intercessory prayer to God had a beneficial therapeutic effect in patients admitted to the coronary care unit. In a similar study in 1999, nearly 1,000 patients in the coronary care unit at St. Luke's Hospital in Kansas City, it was found that those who were unwittingly prayed for did better than those who had conventional care alone. So there's numerous studies, brothers and sisters, that have found prayer lowers depression and suicide rates. It even lowers blood pressure. There was a big study in 2006 of 1,800 patients that didn't conform to what these other studies found. It was led by Dr. Benson, so it can't be dismissed. The patients were broken up into three groups. Two were prayed for and the third was not. Half the patients were told they were prayed for and half were told they might receive prayers. The researchers found no difference between the various groups. However, a new study published by Arizona State University found that prayer does have positive effects. So, brothers and sisters, we can't ignore these kinds of studies and this kind of data, but we should also expect to be open-minded enough to say the findings can't always be easily explained. With a little prayer, they can figure it out. There is great power in prayer, brothers and sisters, especially the Mass and the sacraments by which Christ made his divine life available to us. Christ taught that wherever two or three, you know this prayer, that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he will be in their midst. In Matthew 18, chapter 18, and verse 20, but the power of Christ's presence offered to us in all the various forms of public prayer can't be absorbed and released into our lives without personal prayer. For a deep combination of spiritual and psychological reasons, if we fail to pray personally, we not only miss many opportunities to do good, but we slowly smother our own relationship with Christ, no matter how many times we go through the motions of public or group prayer. Liturgical prayer can and should be intensely personal. We cannot learn to pray personally or even excel at it unless we're willing to pray privately. Our Lord tells us this point blank when he warns us not to be hypocrites who pray out in public, but to go to our rooms, close our doors, and pray privately to our Father, who reads the secrets of our hearts. In the New Testament speaks about private prayer. Jesus prayed at his baptism. He frequently went aside to pray alone. He prayed at the time of his transfiguration. He prayed that Peter would not fail in his faith. He prayed mightily during his passion. Even his great, great priestly prayer at the Last Supper for all those the Father had given him in the world was an intensely personal prayer said in the presence of 12. Not surprisingly, for one who prayed so frequently, our Lord has often taught us about personal and private prayer. He enjoined us to pray for our enemies and those who persecute us and curse and cause us hardship. He told us to pray for vocations. He urged us to pray against the temptations and trials of the end times. He warned us to pray unceasingly. He also explained that we would receive whatever we ask in prayer. And he taught us the Our Father so that we would know how to pray and what kinds of things to pray for. That evidence is seen clearly in the Gospels, both in the Acts of the Apostles and the Epistles. In the many New Testament texts on prayer, our Lord is emphasizing again and again the need to pray persistently without losing heart. He told two wonderful stories about the importance of persistence, one concerning a widow and an unjust judge, and the other about a man who needed to borrow bread from his neighbor in the middle of the night. Both the judge and the neighbor, neither of whom loved as God loves, succumbed to the onslaught of personal entreaty. Moreover, Jesus sometimes demanded that same persistence from others, as in the case of the Canaanite woman, who actually had to argue with the Son of Man that even dogs get the crumbs from under their master's table. And the result was that he healed her daughter. After the story of the neighbor, our Lord stressed the persistence in prayer that it became a proverb. I tell you, I'm quoting, I tell you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. But his next point is even more dramatic. What father, Jesus asks, will give his son a serpent when he asks for a fish? Or a scorpion when he asks for an egg? The question is the prelude to our Lord's final and greatest lesson about prayer. If we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The Holy Spirit in prayer. And here our Lord teaches us that the Holy Spirit is always at work in prayer. By way of introduction. So, brothers and sisters, do you pray often? Or are you sort of saying, well, I pray, but I should pray more often, but, oh, I get caught up in things. Well, remember, brothers and sisters, who doesn't want you to pray? That's right, the evil one. The evil one will do as much everything in their power to dissuade you from praying, catching you off guard so that you spend less and less time with God and more time with the world. It's very important, especially during these pandemic days and months that we have had and we are having, that we need prayer more than ever before. Prayer for our world to heal. Prayer for each soul to come to Christ. Prayer so that they may feel fulfilled and nourished by the strength and the peace and the lovingness and the merciful God that we have. And we can do all that through the intercession of our blessed Divine Mother, our most holy Mother, our beautiful Mother Mary. Brothers and sisters, we live in a sick world, and I'm not talking physical, but this is a sick world, a world that has turned upside down, where what was wrong is right, what was backward is frontward. Brothers and sisters, pray for everyone. Pray for those who don't come to Christ, who haven't, don't know who Jesus is. Pray for those who are locked in darkness. Pray for them to open their eyes, for God to open their eyes through the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, isn't it amazing to have God in your life? Isn't it wonderful to be able to go to Him at any time and say, you know, Lord, I can't find my car keys. Where are they? I put them here. And all of a sudden you find them. Lord, I hope my little bird is doing well. It's sick. I hope that my family makes bridges and comes together. Brothers and sisters, there isn't a family, there isn't an individual who doesn't need God. Every one of us needs God. This world is crying out for God. It's bleeding in the ugliness and the dirt and the negativity. It's heaving and saturated in negativity. Everything. And the cell phone, by being posting it virally, and it goes viral, and it's such a big thing to have it viral, that has destroyed lives left and right. It has also created wonderful opportunities for people to be recognized, to be appreciated, to be seen, to be celebrated in their wonderful gifts that they have. It has been able to bridge communication from loved ones from far away or from not so far, but technology has been a blessing as well. But brothers and sisters, all of these gifts, everything that we have, everything that we are from God. Our Lord has bestowed each and every one of us with gifts. Let's make the most of our gifts. Let's not turn to the evilness and look at people in a very judgmental way. Let's close our eyes and open them with the Lord. Ask the Lord to open your eyes, brothers and sisters, and say, I want to look through your eyes, Lord Jesus. I don't want to look through mine. Mine are imperfect. Yours are perfect. Yours are really 20/20 vision. So, brothers and sisters, Saint Teresa of Lisieux often fell asleep at prayer, and it caused her to glory in her littleness. I don't actually recommend this technique, which also employed by the apostles in Gethsemane, yet I leave it to God to understand the effort at wakefulness and render it fruitful, even if it fails. In any case, our topic is not sleep, but the Holy Spirit, who is actively involved in all prayer. The magnitude of Christ's teaching is precisely this. Personal prayer is a continuous motion of the Holy Spirit between the one who prays and the Father, or indeed the Son. It is the Holy Spirit whom the Father continually gives in prayer, and the Holy Spirit whom the Father continually receives back. Saint Paul explained it this way: we know that the whole creation has been groaning in work until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait for adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words, as He who searches the hearts of men know what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The challenge for us, this exchange of the Holy Spirit between ourselves and the Father, doesn't take place unless we pray personally, and which I mean interiorly. There's nothing automatic about it. And the mere external use of rites, group prayers, true prayer requires our personal, interior participation from the heart, brothers and sisters. That is our own determination to communicate with the Father, honestly, lifting ourselves to God with whatever capacity we possess at the time. Doesn't matter how we feel, but asking God to come into our hearts. and having the Holy Spirit fill us with the peace of Christ. The intention of personal prayer can be built on whatever beginning is within our power. It's up to us to practice, and it's also to exercise this initially limited ability to pray. When we do this over time, the Holy Spirit becomes a fountain of life and a power within us, uniting us to God Himself. That is the truth. Nothing is better calculated to overcome any obstacle, and we can give or receive no greater gift than prayer. That's right. The success of everything else depends on our interaction with the Holy Spirit in prayer. So let's make sure. A prayer is a necessary means of obtaining every need so that it is also sufficient for everything. The power of prayer comes from the promise that Jesus made concerning prayer. Remember, ask, and we can say it with me, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. His promise is a solemn one by which he pledges his divine word. Miracles are not excluded. Prayer has worked many. Even heaven is included. Heaven especially, and before all else, if you ask the Father, quote from the Bible, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Prayer, brothers and sisters, you cannot go wrong. It's about the best thing you can ever do for yourself and for your loved ones and for the world. That is the best thing to do. Pray, brothers and sisters. Pray for those who need to hear prayer. Pray for those who haven't heard of Jesus, who don't know or who walked away, people who need to repent, all of us. The power of prayer depends on God's infinite goodness and mercy. And sometimes your petitions are granted. It's not because that you're worth it and that you deserve it, but it's the infinite mercy of God. And if your merit were the reason, well, guess what? You would not need to petition, but demand as it is, you ask. And so you must have faith and trust in God's goodness and mercy. The power of God's answer far extends your need and his divine mercy. You may pray for whatever you desire, whatever is reasonable and pleasing to God, especially spiritual gifts. You know, brothers and sisters, the more closer you get to God, the more you realize when you look around your home or your place where you live, they're not as important, those things. Trophies, plaques, awards, certificates, diplomas. Yes, they're wonderful. Congratulations. And God allowed you to have those things. But at the same time, brothers and sisters, they're not treasures that you will take to heaven. For the treasure is your love and your obedience in following Christ. Those are a treasure. The fact that you may witness to someone and tell them about your faith, or tell them about a miracle that happened in your life, or that how God has helped you and things aren't so great, but somehow, some way, you're getting through this pandemic. Yeah, it isn't easy. Yeah, you're frustrated and scared at times. But somehow, brothers and sisters, you're hanging on. And that hanging on, that lifeline, is Christ. When you share that with someone else, you have given them more than a trunk full of gold. You have given them life, brothers and sisters. So it's important, brothers and sisters, that we realize our treasures are not here. I have, down in my basement, I've had teaching awards, humanitarian awards, university after 30 years from graduating, gave me an award. They're all downstairs, brothers and sisters. I'm not hanging them up. I think I hung them up for a few months. And then after a while, it kind of got nauseating. Like, okay, yeah, all right, good for you. Move on. And then you had to realize, where did that all come from? That came through the grace of God, really. It came through the grace of God. It didn't come all through me. All of that came from through the grace of God. And I thank the Lord for those things and those wonderful moments in my life. And I'm grateful for them. But those aren't going to be in the casket. Those aren't going to be what we're going to take, brothers and sisters. Our love and obedience to Christ, that we've praised Him, glorified Him, and made Him the center of our life. Brothers and sisters, when we do that, my gosh, there is nothing more beautiful, more glorious, more amazing, more awesome than having the love of Christ in our hearts, knowing that whatever we face, no matter what challenge comes in front of us, we will make it. We will get through. Brothers and sisters, it saddens me when I hear of so many people who were very happy people on this earth, and yet they had this darkness about them. For example, Robin Williams, who committed suicide. Such a happy guy on the outside, made millions and millions of people laugh, and yet deep inside he was hurting. He needed Christ. I wish to goodness that someone had told him about Christ. But He is in heaven, and I pray that he will see the face of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, God loves us no matter what, and God loves Robin Williams too. So brothers and sisters, as we're getting close to the end of our program for today, and we will continue next time on prayer, it's so important, brothers and sisters, do pray for each other, pray for your family, and we will get into more about prayer in the next broadcast. I know this time hasn't been easy, and I pray that your Thanksgiving went well, and you had a little bit of turkey and some pumpkin pie. God bless you, all of you. Thank you so much for being with me today. I'm your host, Christina Doyle, and you've been listening to The Father's Quilt right here at the greatest station in Canada and around the world, Radio Maria. Thank you, brothers and sisters. God bless you, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. A single